In November, Arkansas voters will decide on a ballot initiative to legalize medical marijuana, widely reported as the first state in the South to do so. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich talks with state and national advocates about how the law might be implemented, if passed, as well as with the manager of a top cannabis dispensary in California, where medical marijuana has been legal for 16 years.
California's Proposition 215, titled the Compassionate Use Act, passed by voter initiative in 1996, was a political watershed for proponents of medical marijuana. Patients could, for the first time in modern history, circumvent the black market and, with a doctor's recommendation, purchase high-grade cannabis products. From nonprofit storefronts to ingest, smoke, drink, or inhale through a vaporizer. As many as 500 dispensaries operate across the state with names like Karma Combo, Grassroots, and the Vapor Room. But some, like Harborside Health Center, based in Oakland, stand by their medical paradigm. In operation for 6 years, the nonprofit collective sells medical marijuana, but also provides substance abuse and mental health counseling, acupuncture treatment, and yoga. General Manager Andrew D'Angelo.
That's all very evident as soon as you walk into our facility, which is large, open, well-lit, lots of sunlight, windows coming in. Our slogan is out of the shadows and into the light, and we take a lot of pride in the design of our facility, which is actually an award-winning design.
Unlike other dispensary websites with larger-than-life photos of cannabis bud oozing with resin, Harborside's website is illustrated with simple iconography of flowers, concentrates, topicals, edibles, and seeds. The staff also hold classes on medicinal marijuana cultivation for authorized patients and caregivers. Seeking to treat chemotherapy-associated nausea, AIDS anorexia, glaucoma, inflammation associated with arthritis, fibromyalgia, hypertension, osteoporosis, even Alzheimer's.
Medical cannabis dispensaries, when operated in a safe, transparent way in collaboration with the community, which means regulation, we can bring benefits to communities, not harms. And we have brought tremendous benefits to our community here in Oakland, and we have brought no harm.
Although Andrew D'Angelo declined saying how much his dispensary grosses, he did say the state gets a huge cut of the pot pie in revenue, permit fees, and sales taxes, 46 cents on every dollar. The collective also donates a portion of earnings to the needy, he said. But even California's established dispensaries remain at risk due to federal drug agents stepping up enforcement by conducting raids and reportedly seizing leased property on which some operate. Still, marijuana reformists like Andrew D'Angelo persist.
We live in Oakland, which is a very diverse community. So about half of our patronage is non-white in background. We have all sorts of ages of people from 18 years old all the way to patients in their 80s from all socioeconomic backgrounds imaginable. One thing that medical cannabis has taught me is that when you are in pain or when you need medicine to function in your daily life because you're suffering from cancer or you have glaucoma, that doesn't discriminate.
But all Harborside patients must first obtain a recommendation by a doctor.
The doctor must be in good standing with the California Medical Board. We verify both of these things multiple times before you can enter the space, the part of the facility that actually dispenses the medical cannabis.
Doctors and providers can be found online at weedsmap.com. In Washington, Michigan, Alaska, Hawaii, Montana, New Jersey, Rhode Island, New Mexico, and 8 other states where medicinal pot is illegal, Morgan Fox is communications manager at the Marijuana Policy Project, founded in 1995 to end federal marijuana prohibition for both medical and non-medical use. It counts 50,000 members.
Well, simply put, the people are tired of spending their tax money putting sick people in jail for using a medicine that they and their doctor feel is appropriate for them. And particularly when you see the benefits that this medicine has for people with very severe illnesses such as cancer, HIV, AIDS, multiple sclerosis, it becomes an issue of compassion. beyond all partisan lines.
The Marijuana Policy Project lent both financial and organizing assistance to Arkansans for Compassionate Care, sponsors of Arkansas's Medical Marijuana Act. Spokesperson Chris Kell says if passed, the state will have a strong hand in how the law is implemented.
Arkansas Department of Health will make the final determinations on where the dispensaries are put up, but the idea is that we'll have one dispensary for every 25 drugstores there are in the state, and we'll try to have it as set out as broadly as we can to cover the largest population possible that fits within the five-mile radius.
And a portion of revenue from sales would be turned back to the Arkansas Department of Health, he said.
The dispensaries themselves would actually produce the marijuana.
So they would grow the marijuana?
Yes, the dispensaries would grow the marijuana. That's correct.
And would that be field crops or would it be inside aquaculture? Do you know?
Yeah, it all has to be produced inside under lock and key or have some other equivalent security provisions. That has to go for the dispensaries as well as individuals.
Arkansas patients and certain caregivers who live more than 5 miles from a dispensary would be allowed to grow medicinal pot as much as 2.5 ounces.
The patient or their caregiver, if they're beyond 5 miles of a dispensary, can grow the marijuana under lock and key within their home with a limit of 6 plants. And the dispensaries, I think, are limited to 95 plants.
The ballot initiative provides that seeds and seedlings can be sold and transported within the state, but if out of state, must be donated by a sanctioned dispensary. And how will Arkansas residents secure a prescription for medicinal marijuana?
Well, first of all, it's not a prescription. It's a recommendation. And if a patient's physician believes that a patient would benefit from medicinal marijuana, the physician can write a recommendation that then goes to the health department. And then the health department decides if the patient qualifies under the provisions of the ballot initiative, and they determine in the end whether or not the patient can use medical marijuana under this law.
This summer, a Kentucky legislator filed a bill to legalize medicinal marijuana in a state which has long fought to allow for agricultural hemp cultivation. In the 19th century, hemp was plantation grown for twine, rope, and cloth. It only contains a trace of the psychoactive medicinal THC, that's tetrahydrocannabinol, unlike its more potent cousin, Cannabis indica, or marijuana. Still, hemp and marijuana were both federally prohibited in the early 20th century. Hemp fiber and seed are increasingly, however, being processed into cloth, food, and cosmetics, openly sold in the United States marketplace. But the plant must be outsourced, primarily from China. 10 states have legalized hemp cultivation, some seeking to grow it for biomass and even biofuels. But all are constrained from that under the drug enforcement law. That's why groups like the Marijuana Policy Project are working to educate Americans on states' rights to cultivate and dispense marijuana and hemp. Again, spokesperson Morgan Fox.
But that's what's so great about our federalist system, that we can experiment on a state-by-state basis with which policies work best for those particular states. Unfortunately, federal interference is making it very, very difficult to do so.
Opponents to medical marijuana say that pharmaceutical-grade THC-based drugs exist, so there is no need to legalize pot.
Yes, that's a substance called dronabinol. It's marketed under the name of Marinol. And what we've actually found is that this substance is not a synthetic form of marijuana and from the whole plant. It is a synthesized version of just one chemical found in marijuana. And THC just also happens to be the primary psychoactive agent. So what patients have found is that in a lot of cases, they don't get all of the benefits that the chemicals that are present in marijuana provide working in consort. We've also had many, many reports that it's just simply too impairing. The actual like psychoactive effects are simply too strong, and it makes it unpleasant for lots of patients. It's far, far stronger than smoked or eaten marijuana.
Peer review studies on the efficacy of medicinal cannabis is limited due to it being classified as a Schedule I federally prohibited substance. Yet, according to the U.S. Patent Office, the U.S. Department of Human Services purchased several medicinal cannabinoid patents in 2003 to treat inflammation, symptoms due to Parkinson's disease, and certain dementia disorders.
There's actually quite a bit of research out there, but unfortunately there's not enough. And science is just starting to unlock the amazing potential of the endocannabinoid system and how marijuana works in consort with that. So I think that the more research we get, the better.
Nearly one-fifth of U.S. states have legalized medicinal marijuana, yet the Federal Bureau of Investigation Uniform Crime Report cites in 2010 of 1,600,000 total arrests for drug abuse violations, 46% were for marijuana possession, an increase of 6% since 2000, despite the Department of Justice issuing a prosecutorial directive to ease recreational user arrest. Morgan Fox with the Marijuana Policy Project.
But the real thing that really needs to be looked at is the fact that state and local law enforcement gets an incredible amount of money from the federal government in the form of grants because of having large marijuana arrest rates. They're also able to get all sorts of things from asset forfeiture. So there's definitely an economic incentive for police departments, both state and local, to try to halt marijuana reform because it represents a huge cash cow for them.
A July Talk Business Hendricks College poll found Arkansans to be evenly divided on the issue of medical marijuana. The survey of 585 likely voters had a margin of error of plus or minus 4%. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Coalition to Preserve Arkansas Values last week filed a lawsuit with the Arkansas Supreme Court, requesting the medical marijuana proposal be struck from the ballot, claiming marijuana is illegal under current federal drug law. The ballot title is confusing and proposal vaguely worded. In response, Chris Kell, spokesperson for Arkansans for Compassionate Care, told Ozarks at Large that their measure was approved by both the state attorney general and secretary of state, and that voters should be allowed to decide for themselves.